How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
A new world order. Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Sometimes when the show gets ready to go, I just sit here and I get caught up in the intro and I'm waiting to hear this Dutch Jones guy. Turn off the studio monitor, please. And that happened just now. I was like, who's this Dutch Jones guy again? I always forget who I am, but these 2 hours of the day, I stop being me and become Dutch Jones. Wow, folks, we're here for another day. The internet gods are letting us stay on. The tyranny that is the web, for some reason, seems to think that we're so small we don't matter, I guess. So thankfully they let us back on so that we can continue to spread the word and help people realize that what we do here is important. We'll give you the Christian militant worldview. It's a separatist worldview. And in a few minutes you're going to see why I say separatist, because the whole world is about to come crashing down if what Lindsey Williams says is true. We talked about this a little yesterday. Lindsey Williams is a pastor from Alaska. He was a bush pilot distributing Bibles before the Alaskan pipeline was put in. And then when the oil boom took off, he became friends with the oil folks and the New World Order, and you'll learn all that. And he's had his ear to the wall, as it were. He's been a fly on the wall. He's not Catholic, but they've been confessing some things to him, the New World Order types. And they've given out a lot of information. And why, you say? Why would they be telling this guy? Well, it's part of their code of conduct to give a warning. Prior notice. They function by rules too. They're satanic, but they're still rules. So that's what we're going to do. Other than that, lots of weird stuff going on. Earthquakes in New Zealand. I pray that none of our New Zealand listeners are involved in that. We do have a couple. Kiwis, they call themselves, I think. The hostages taken on that yacht, the missionary two couples, were killed. While hostage negotiations were going on off of Africa's coast, and our guys went in and killed a few, captured a few, but the four hostages were shot. Oil shot way up. I think it's probably over $100 a barrel by now. I stopped looking at 1 p.m. our time because we had things to do, but it was $98 a barrel at that time. Futures were $106 a barrel. I immediately sent Stacy out to fill up the car full of gas because it's already, how much was it today? $3.44 a gallon? $3.59. It shot up, so tomorrow it'll probably be $3.80. And in Europe, the people have been reporting in that Europe is already $10 and $11 or euros a gallon, so it's like $15 a gallon. For, well, actually they said a liter, so it's like 2.4 liters to a gallon or something. So anyway, things are starting to happen. Things are starting to crank up. Again, we have prayer requests for Scotty's daughter. She's on oxygen in the hospital. Continue your prayers. I prayed last night, and we will continue to pray this week. If you are a local person, we are not having our Wednesday night Bible study. The pastor is just too ill. You can hear it in my voice. He's 10 times worse than I am. We're all doing teas and vitamins and things like that. So no Wednesday night Bible study. So there will not be an installment on the internet for that either. So just so you know. Lou's working with 93.3 FM right now. That's why you don't hear him mumbling or anything in the background. It crashed just before we went on the air. So he's trying to get that back up. But he's going to have to sit down over here in a second because we're going to get ready to play the Lindsey Williams in about 3 minutes. Lou, did you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. We are today finishing up our barricade. Well, actually, we didn't finish it up. Still working on our barricades for the shooting range so we can have some obstacles, things like that. We painted. We found some like shop floor shop paint, that gray enamel paint. So we're doing that. We're going to be painting that on there. We got some good news. We got a Scotty donated $30. Thank you, Scotty. We'll be sending out some videos to you real soon. I think we're going to send Savior and something else that we had that I wanted him to see. Oh, the Restrepo. We'll send you a copy of Restrepo also. Just don't watch it with ladies in the room, either one of those. They're men's movies. There's some vulgarity in them, but there are messages in both of them. Is it working, Lou? Oh, you're still using it? Okay. And then, really good news. A yoga school in New Hampshire?
I think it's Florida.
Oh, in Florida now. Okay, Florida bought the most expensive water filtration system we sell. It's like I think the company sells them for $1,000 is to do your whole house. We sell them for $870, and we sold one. So we'll make a nice little profit on that. I think we make like a 20% profit because we're just salespeople for Sawyer. We don't stock anything. So that is very nice. So that means we will be able to actually buy some seeds and other things that are needed. So good blessings. I'm sharing blessings as well as prayer requests. Don't forget Scotty's little girl, that prayer request. Those of you that don't know who Lindsey Williams is, he's a pastor. He doesn't say it's Bible prophecy. It's just what he hears talking to the power elite. I've been listening to him off and on for 6 years, and the guy's he's on. You know, granted, you can say, well, he makes vague things, but no, he makes predictions based on what they say they're going to do. There'll be a day or two off, or you know, a dollar or two off per barrel, but he's got some scary stuff. Not as big as we were hoping for. Alex Jones wouldn't shut up. He should have just let the man talk for 2 hours rather than intervening and bloviating like he does. Why don't I respect Alex Jones, but I don't like him. I'm glad he does what he does. He's a gateway into this whole new world that people are awakened to. But it's kind of annoying that he wouldn't let Lindsey Williams talk, so I'm not going to do the same thing. So without further ado, are you ready to go with Lindsey? Mm-hmm. Okay, and he's on this pot. Go ahead.
Crude oil this morning is up $8 a barrel. Libya, the capital city, Tripoli, is burning. The capital building in Libya is on fire right now. Gaddafi is in power since 1969. And this morning, white, sweet crude oil is $108 a barrel. I have been told that it's going to 150 to 200. I would think that 200 would be more like it. Libya has shut off all of its present oil sales. It says it will carry no more contracts. 1.6 million barrels of oil per day go to Europe, not to America, but to Europe. This is going to drastically affect America because now Europe oil supplies have got to come from somewhere else. I would say that the Middle East is pretty much number one item right now. It's going to go to Iran, and it's going to go, the crisis is going into Saudi Arabia. So let me begin, as I have been told by the people that have given me information over these years, as Alex has just said, I want to start from the beginning so you can understand because this is very involved. In 1901, the first, what should we say, gusher of oil in the United States of America took place in Beaumont, Texas. It was called Spindletop. It went up 200 feet. At that point, the major oil companies were formed. They didn't exist before 1901. Texaco, Shell, Standard Oil, of course, which is a Rockefeller family, and Chevron had their beginning at Spindletop in 1901. This set the stage for the beginning of some things that would revolutionize the entire world and the use of crude oil and energy. Then in 1903 came Henry Ford, the first assembly line automobile in America, and then a man by the name of Mercedes in Germany built the first assembly line German-produced automobile. Now, at that time, American oil was 25 cents a gallon or less, and our economy was booming beyond everything the world had ever known. Oil was discovered in the Arab Middle East world. Now, keep in mind that prior to the time that oil was discovered after 1903 in the Arab world, that the Arabs were nothing but nomads roaming the deserts riding camels. But 60 years ago, the Arabs began to, for the first time in many, many centuries, to come to the forefront. This brings us up to where we are now. And as Alex has suggested, I want to just cover a few pointers, and then I'll go back and take each one of them individually so that you can know the intricate parts of it. Ken Fromm of Atlantic Richfield. This is Standard Oil. Of course, you recognize ARCO, Atlantic Richfield Standard Oil Company, one of America's greats back in those early days. And the different oil companies, Texaco, Shell, Standard Oil, and Chevron, basically divided up the Arab world. And each one of them took a country and said, we will go and produce the oil fields in that country. The Arabs didn't have the money to produce them. And Mr. Ken Fromm was given the job by Atlantic Richfield of producing the oil field in Kuwait, Dubai, and that part of the world. Ken Fromm is a gentleman who has given me so much information over the years. We've spent hours and hours together talking about what is happening in the Arab world, and which I'll go back and give in detail later. Now, about 1977 through 81 was the Carter administration. You'll remember that the Secretary of State was Mr. Henry Kissinger. He traveled abroad to every major oil-producing country at that time and tried to cut them a deal. I will go into that deal that he cut and why it is so significant to what's happening in America right now, because at that point, we began the indebtedness of the United States of America by a design plan, and I'm so glad that Alex mentioned the 50-year cycle, because this is exactly what we are going through at this time. I had not thought of that, but Alex, you're right, and I have heard this in many places. At this point, OPEC had an agreement, and there was every nation in OPEC, every major oil-producing country in OPEC, agreed to Henry Kissinger's deal with exception of two. One was Iraq, and that's the reason that Iraq had to be conquered and taken out. And the next one was Iran. Iran has had every kind of problem imaginable because they would not go along with Mr. Henry Kissinger's agreement back in 1977 through 81. Now, at this point, America began its debt spiral. And someone needed to buy the United States debt. Mr. Kissinger knew this, and as a result, the part of the cutting of the deal was that they would buy our T-bills, buy our debt. In turn, we would buy their oil. And at this point, it was decided by the elite that the American oil fields would not be produced. Folks, I hope you're hearing this because it's so significant to what they have told me now is about to happen. The American oil fields would not be produced because the foreigners, we had to buy our oil from them in order for them to turn around and buy our national debt, and they had to keep it that way. They closed up oil wells everywhere. They shut down major production from the Arctic Wildlife Refuge. What was the Bakken Oil Preserve and others here in the Lower 48? They likewise said, we cannot produce them because if we do, then these other countries will not be obligated to buy our debt. This also began the time that the elitists, the bankers and others, the World Bank, the IMF, began to bring about the destruction of America gradually. You've heard me speak of the Devil's Messiah plan. Every bit of this fit into their perversion of the United States of America. Then came 1970. I'm just giving you a quick overview, and then we'll go back since we have time in the program today to take these one by one. In 1970, the Alaskan oil was found, somewhere around 1970. In 1974 through 76, the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline was built. And in 1976, one of the largest oil fields ever discovered in the world, and in particular in the United States of America, it's described in my book, The Energy Non-Crisis, Gull Island Will Blow Your Mind. this is a story within itself, because after Gull Island was brought in, I was in the room with the oil company officials. I later asked Mr. Fromm, why don't you bring this oil to the American people? I knew already why. They couldn't. They had no choice. They could not bring gasoline back down to 25 cents a gallon again. They could not bring it to 50 or 60 cents a gallon. They couldn't, because they were, the national debt had to be bought by someone. The Federal Reserve was obligated, and the national debt was growing so greatly. And now, Gull Island's brought in, and I said to Ken, why don't you bring this oil to the American people? He said, Chaplain, this is classified. We are not going to release that oil. We will never announce the oil field and the Arctic Wildlife Refuge, what is there, until, please, this is so important, put it down in your notes. You're hearing things today for the first time. He said, we will not produce these oil fields until we have crude oil to somewhere around $200 a barrel. I said that in different places. It got me in trouble. I later was called on the carpet by the elite, and I was threatened, and it was mainly because of this one subject right here. They had to get it to $200 a barrel. You are going to see $150 to $200 a barrel oil in the very near future. You're probably talking somewhere in the neighborhood of 9 to 12 months. They have to take it there because the problems that have developed, they developed them, by the way. The problems and the crisis that they have developed in the Middle East will grow so great until America will not be able to get its oil from the OPEC oil-producing countries of the Middle East and Saudi Arabia in particular.
Now, Lindsay, I want to back up for just a moment and, again, just let listeners know, the new information is coming up.
We're still the Dutch Jones Show. We just couldn't get that Alex Jones out of there. We'll keep going.
Now China's involved, what the elite have told you the role for the United States is going to be in this. We can already see this in their admitted globalist plans, but this is directly relating to what's happening now in the Middle East that you predicted from your sources in October of last year, 4 months ago, on this show. And so the really big bombshells are coming up, but it's important for people to have the foundation. Please continue.
Yes, you're exactly right. All of this fits into the total picture of China, where Mr. Fromm told me before he passed away, he said, China is the big one, keep your eyes on that.
But now the other sources filled that in for you.
Yes, the other sources just filled this in for me. I think the bombshell at this point that folks you definitely need to jot down is, once they get that crude oil to the price of somewhere around $200 a barrel, at that point, they will have created so much chaos in the Middle East. As I mentioned at the beginning of the program, Libya, Tripoli, the capital building in Tripoli in Libya, is burning right now, this moment, as we speak. In fact, this morning, Iranian warships went through the Suez Canal. Egypt finally gave them permission. Right now, as this program is going on, the latest information I've gotten this morning is that the Iranian warships are through. This is going to involve Israel. That part I don't even want to go into on the program because it would be a program within itself. I had no way of knowing any of this. Let me be very frank and upfront with your listening audience. I was a mere missionary flying airplanes out in the bush of Alaska at the time they said they were going to build the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline. The oil companies allowed me as a chaplain, later gave me executive status. I sat in the board meetings and lived with the elite of the world for 3 years' time. I could have never known any of the things that Alex has just mentioned had it not been the providence of God. It gave me favor with two of these individuals who are of the elitist of the world, and they in turn have given me information over these 35 years, and the latest one who is still alive, but yet retired, still gives me information. And when Alex called on yesterday, his producer, I said, here's what I've just gotten hours ago, and that is just what Alex said. They are going to they're going to cross the Arabs. The Arabs will lose what they've put in our T-bills. The dollar is going to plummet. And I've given the time date. This was given to me. Please put it down on your calendar. By the end of 2012, the dollar will be dead. At the same time, all of these T-bills, securities, Federal Reserve notes that the oil-producing countries of the Middle East in particular, under the agreement by Mr. Henry Kissinger way back 1977 through 81, the agreement that was made, all of these millions and billions of dollars that they have put into American paper will be lost overnight at the time that they're going to plummet the dollar. This means that we will not be getting Arab oil. Folks, are you? I hope you're getting this. I hope it's sinking through. You will not be getting oil from the Middle East at the time this happens because they will be enraged with us, plus the fact of the Muslim Brotherhood going nation after nation after nation, as it did in Egypt, as it's doing in Libya. It's going to go from one nation to the other, Jordan, Tunisia, Turkey, Kuwait, Yemen, Saudi Arabia,
Morocco.
And when it hits Saudi Arabia, this is one of America's major oil supplies. At that point, you will have gasoline at the gas pump, $6 to $7.
Stay there. Back in 1 minute.
So that you know, the listening audience out there, Alex, that the elite know all of this in advance. Every bit of it is planned behind closed doors. I had no way of knowing this. I'll give you a few of the key pointers. 3 years ago, I was called on the phone by one of my elitist friends, and he said to me very casually, he said, Chaplain, the price of crude oil is going from $147 a barrel to $50 a barrel. Everybody that played the futures, everyone that had any prognostic notice, idea whatsoever.
No, first you said it was going from 50 to 150, then you said it was going to go back down to 40, and it did.
Yes, but everybody was saying it was going to 200. Even I myself was predicting that, even though I had not been told it. He said to me on the phone, it's going to from $147 a barrel to $50 a barrel. Within 2 months' time, it went actually to $134 a barrel, and I knew that my reputation was at stake. Alex was bold enough, and folks, listen, Alex Jones will put things on that nobody else will put on. There were some talk show hosts that wouldn't even allow me on their show to say it. They thought it was so ridiculous and outlandish. But I knew that they'd never told me anything wrong in 35 years, and I said, Alex, I'd like to come on your show and tell the people that it's going from $147 a barrel to $50 a barrel. Alex allowed me on his show to say it, even though people laughed at me. And some of you are laughing at me out there in the audience right now. Just keep right on laughing because you laugh last. I know what's going to happen between now and the end of 2012, and I hope you have sense enough to listen to me and to listen to everything that Alex is telling you because the elite have it in plan. So it did exactly what he said. Exactly. 2 months later, it went to $1.50 a gallon at the gas pump. It went to $1.34 a gallon. Then, at the same time, he told me, and you can watch this now, you'll see it happen. He said the price of crude oil for the next 2 to 2.5 years is going to stay between $70 and $80 a barrel. Everybody again thought I was crazy, but I didn't. Wasn't the one that said it. The elitist told me that, and it did. It stayed exactly that. Then I told you when it was going to start going back up again. Just about 3 to 4 months ago, I came on Alex's show, and I said, I have been told there's going to be a crisis in the Middle East. Now, folks, please listen to my wording. I did not say there was going to be a war with Iran. Alex, you remember me saying
no,
that.
No, it's on record. You said it's going to be a crisis.
I said just what they told me. I said there is going to be a crisis in the Middle East. They did not tell me it would be Egypt, and I didn't say
okay,
Iran.
Okay, Lindsay, stop
Egypt.
There. We got to go to break. Let's come back where you left off, because that's perfect.
The standard currency of the world is crude oil. Please write this down in your notes, and I hope you have a pencil and paper and you're taking notes today and you'll put it beside your calendar, because barring divine intervention, the elite will do what you're about to hear. The standard currency of the world is crude oil. It is not the dollar. It's not the euro. It's not the yuan. It's not the pound. It's crude oil. Crude oil. Please put it down. It's the most important object out there. The Muslim Brotherhood are being supported by the elite of the world who have the crude oil in the palm of their hand. please note this. What you saw happen in Egypt, what's happening right now in Libya, what is taking place in the United Arab Emirates, is going to spread throughout the entire Arab world. Most all of OPEC. Now, OPEC includes a few other nations beside the Arab world. But all over the Arab world, it's going to continue because they are being supported by the elite of the world. The elite of the world plan to double-cross the Arabs. I hope you've never heard this anywhere before. This will be so new to you until I'm sure you're going to be startled, as you have by many of the other things that these people have told me. Please note again, the Arab world, the Middle East in particular, OPEC in general, are going to be double-crossed by the elite of the world. And if any of the Arabs out there are listening to me, I hope your princes, your sheikhs and your sheikhs and the people of those countries will listen to you. Because 70 years ago, you were nothing but nomads, roaming the deserts riding camels. You're going back to that again. I know. And I must explain what the Muslim Brotherhood is doing later, but I won't take the time right now. How are you going to be double-crossed? You remember that Mr. Kissinger went abroad in 1977 through 81 during the Carter administration, cut a deal with every then-producing major oil country in the Middle East, and the deal was, we will buy your oil. We will no longer produce from America's oil fields. Oh, a few little wells here and yonder. Yeah, we'll allow them to go, but nothing big whatsoever. The North Slope of Alaska, we'll just cap a little bit of it, but we're not going to get the big ones. We will buy from you if you will do the following. Number one, you must take a certain portion of what we buy oil from you with and buy our Federal Reserve issues of T-bills and securities. This, in turn, paid the interest on the national debt, which at that point they began to bring in their new world order, put America into the debt that is in today, and bring America down to the status of a third world country. It was all planned back as far back as I knew in 1971. They knew it a long time prior to that. Now, how are they going to double-cross the Arabs? The dollar will be dead by the end of 2012. Mark my words, this was given to me by them. It is prediction. Put it down. And whenever it does, what's going to happen to those billions and billions of dollars, maybe in some cases trillions of dollars, worth of T-bills and Federal Reserve issues that have been sold to the oil-producing countries according to the deal that was cut by Kissinger in 77 through 81? What will happen to that paper? Please remember the previous show that I was on with Alex Jones. I was told if it's written on a piece of paper, it's worth the paper it's written on. This should be a classical statement because it was told to me by Mr. Fromm before he died. Chaplain, if it's written on a piece of paper, it's worth the paper it's written on. And when the Muslim Brotherhood, supported today by the elite of the world, continue to cause conflict all over the Middle East as they have in Egypt and in Libya, and it will spread from one country to the other, mark my words, none of them will be exempt. And when it does, the oil will not be supplied from over there. The dollar, because when oil goes to $200 a barrel, the American economy is going to be so drastically affected. You think we have problems now financially. The dollar will collapse toward the end of 2012, and when it does, all of the paper, please, folks, hear this, especially Arabs out there, the dollar collapses, the paper of the Federal Reserve will likewise do the same, and when it does, the double cross of the Arabs, which was started way back in 77, the double cross of the Arab world will take place. They will be so angry with us. You think that the Muslims have a bone to pick with us right now. You haven't seen anything. Just wait till the dollar crashes. They're double crossed. They lose their paper wealth. They become again what they were 50 to 60 years ago. And are you ready for what's going to happen at that point? This is the reason that Alex has allowed me on his show today, because I've just been told this a matter of it was hours when I talked with you last night, Alex, but now it'd be a few days. I was told that at that point we will not be able to get our crude oil from the Middle East and many of the other OPEC oil-producing countries, and in turn, the elite plan. plan to open America's own oil fields that they have known. They've known for 50 years that they were there. They knew about the North Slope of Alaska. They knew about Gull Island, which I recorded in my book, and they threatened me never to talk about it again. And Mr. Fromm's gone now, so I'm doing it and hoping that this won't cause problems. And the Arctic Wildlife Refuge, they will open America's own oil fields, including the Bakken Reserve, including the reserve that is under the Rocky Mountains. Have you heard about it? 2 trillion barrels. It was announced on August the 8th, 2005. President Bush talked about it, but they have not produced it yet. All of these oil fields, there is going to be a mad rush to oil production in America because we cannot get it from abroad when the Arabs and OPEC are double-crossed, and in turn, you are going to see America begin to produce from its own oil fields. But what's going to happen? By that time, you'll be paying $7 and $8 a gallon for gasoline, and it will be $200 a barrel. Our dollar will have already collapsed, and they will bring in, mark my words, a world currency. It is all a part of the new world order in order to accomplish what they want. There will be no shortages whatsoever on grocery store shelves. Now, when I said this for the first time about 9 months, I was laughed at. There were many of your survivalists out there, many of them my very personal friends, that said, Lindsay, you're crazy. We're going to have a shortage of food. I said, no, we're not. Why? I've been told it. What are we all going to have a shortage of? The grocery store shelves will be full, but you're going to go hungry. Why are you going to go hungry? Not because there's a lack of groceries out there. Even with the cold that we've had that swept down into Mexico and Florida and other places that all vegetables are produced, there's no shortage whatsoever on the grocery store shelves right now. Why not? The new world order can bring it in from anywhere in the world. What it causes the prices to go up. Do you realize that in 1 week's time, garlic, a simple little thing like a garlic bulb, went up 100% last week alone? Do you realize the crude oil this morning went up $8 a barrel?
All right, so stay there. Stay there. We're going to come back and get back into the dollar situation in China. What's going to happen here?
The end of 2012. You will see the dollar collapse, so I've been told, by the end of 2012. That means that the Arabs are going to be double-crossed by the end of 2012, sometimes prior to that. Whenever they are, we don't get the oil supply from the Middle East. This is going to be a major crisis time for America, because not only is it a crisis for you at the gas pump who are having to drive your vehicle to work every day, but it's going to be a crisis for the truckers, the airlines, and a major crisis for the military of the United States of America, and that's the reason that they're so concerned about the Fifth Fleet right now over there around Dubai and that part of the world. So you have a time frame of the end of 2012. One person said to me this morning, they said, Chapman, it's going to take place in 2011. It was the talk show host called me before your show, Alex, and I said, no, it's not. I said, I've been given the time at the end of 2012. You'd better be ready. They will do this by then. China is the big one. China just made an agreement with Russia. This puts China out of the picture altogether as far as crude oil and natural gas is concerned. China just cut an agreement with Russia. Russia last year became the number one oil supplier of the world. Saudi Arabia took a second place because of Russia's super deep wells, which I've dealt with that subject before on Alex's show. And as a result, China now has agreed with Russia to buy all of the crude oil and all of the natural gas that they want. China will not, do you hear this? China will not be affected by the Middle East crisis because they're now getting their oil from Russia. We will not be able to get it there because they're supplying so much to China. And as a result, we will have to turn to our own oil fields here in America. A time frame that you must be aware of is the end by the end. That means you better be ready a long time before. If you want groceries, you better go to the grocery store and buy 6 months to a year's supply right now, because the dollar is going to collapse in such a manner. See, when crude oil went up this morning, $8 a barrel, it wasn't the crude oil that went up. It was the purchasing power of the dollar that went down. And when that garlic which went up 100% in 1 week. I know a simple little garlic bulb. You housewives can see this. You went to the grocery store, it went up 100% in 1 week. What did that do? It wasn't the garlic that changed. There's still as many cloves in that garlic as there ever was. It was the dollar that you purchased the garlic with that is going down in purchasing power, regardless of what the Federal Reserve is telling you. You had better go and do what you're going to do and do it now and get something for your household and prepare for what's going to happen. China will not be affected by this fuel crisis, because they're getting it out of Russia, and they're not using the American dollar for the
All right, so the globalists are on the move. Lindsay, finishing up with the time frame, you said they're going to rise China up, then they're going to start the exploration here in the next few years, then you're going to see a big decline in the U.S. As they suck everything out of the economy. Everything is based on petrol, based on oil, and this is going to be a vertical integration, a consolidation of wealth. But then your source said that later they're going to build the U.S. back up. What's the time frame on that?
I did not give a time frame on that. It'll all depend on how they're able to open up what they want to open up, the advancement of China. Keep in mind that if it's written on a piece of paper, it's worth the paper it's written on. And this is the way that they will double cross the Arabs. Remember also that George Bush Sr., Daddy Bush, was the ambassador to China prior to that time. Please go back and look this up and get some information on it. Research it for yourself. I don't have time to give it today, but we'll do a whole section on this. George Bush Sr., Daddy Bush, the great Mr. New World Order, was the ambassador to China from the United States of America years ago. Prior to his being ambassador, China was a closed society. The Great Wall of China divided them from everybody, and China did not do business with the outside world. George Bush Sr., Daddy Bush, opened up China to the world and made it the great power that it is today, and he was the first one to announce that there would be a new world order.
And the globalists have done everything they can to position the industry, the power, to have China be the owner of our debt, and it just goes on and on and on. I mean, this is the globalist plan. We've been made dependent. We're being taken over. Is this not high treason by the globalists, Lindsay?
It positively is, and the thing that the average American doesn't realize is that when we moved our industry to China, for instance, General Motors, who you, as a taxpayer, bailed out in the United States of America, they were bankrupt. General Motors and Chrysler, you bailed them out. General Motors will sell more automobiles in China this year than they sell in the United States of America. Now, what happens when General Motors, Chrysler, Caterpillar, the biggest one on the New York Stock Exchange, Caterpillar, whenever these companies move to China and build these multi-billion dollar plants, do you realize that the agreement with China is that, yes, we'll let you come to China, yes, we'll give you cheap labor, but you must give us all of your patents. Did you hear this? Boeing, when they moved to China, they had to give all of their patents. Their patent rights.
Well, Clinton gave them, along with Rumsfeld, when he was in private companies in the mid-90s, the ICBM secrets, the submarine-launched Trident secrets. This is a total sellout. But, Lindsay, this is too... I'm going to have to get you back up sometime this week or next week.
Well, Alex, to talk about
solutions.
Yeah, really, I have only covered a fraction. I mean, I haven't even told of the time that Ken Fromm was fired because of my book, Energy and Non-Crisis. I haven't even dealt with the only person that ever told this story apart from me, which was, by the way, please go and research this. In American Opinion, back in 1980, Alan Stang came to Alaska after Ken Fromm had been fired. Ken was so mad that he gave him everything. It's the only time it's ever been written, and he called him horse's mouth. And then what happened after that? Read the book, The Three Sisters. I mean, we've even skimmed the
surface. And you got Fromm to go on stage at a public event in California. The oil execs, the CEO and another, came in and sat down, totally freaked Fromm out. See, this has all been on record. He just didn't want you to get into it publicly with the new info. Now that he's died, you can. It's just so incredible.
Let me add just one sense of humor, please, and I'll give you a challenge to go do it. There was a bumper sticker the other day. It said, "Pray for Obama." Will you please write down the scripture verse? Just a little humor here. Psalms chapter 109, verse 8. And the bumper sticker said, said, pray for Obama, Psalms 109, verse 8. Just a little humor, but leaving all humor apart.
We're out of time, Lindsay. If folks want to call that number, it's 888-799-6111. We're going to have you back tomorrow, my friend. Let me say bye to you during the break. He retransmits the starts now. Stay with us.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info. Okay, folks, we're back. I just had to throw in a little commercial there because we need you to buy stuff from us that you may or may not need now. And we don't normally like to pillage other people's radio shows, but I could care less. I wish we could have gotten Jones out of there completely. He spells his name wrong. But you get the gist of what Lindsay Williams is talking about. Now, he has been doing this forever, since 1974, 76, when they first put in the Alaskan pipeline is when his contacts came in. And with the power elites, and he just keeps releasing it. And I do trust him. Someone asked me the question, do you trust him? And it's just funny that they let him do it. So you've got to realize that there may be some disinformation, but about 90%, I was looking at some of his predictions earlier today online, and about 90% of his stuff has come true, and the things that he was wrong about were just limits and amounts and dates, things like that. And so basically it's a little hard to follow the way he kept getting butted into and stuff there. They should just let him talk. He is a preacher. He's not a news guy. Basically what's going to happen is the New World Order is going to stop allowing the Arabs to produce oil. They'll tell everybody to stop buying from them. They'll buy from Russia instead. Their plan is to put the Arabs back to a Bedouin level, and also, like I like to call it, you know, whack in the hornet's nest. We think the Muslims are angry now. Wait till we take away all their palaces and their fundraisers and stuff. They're still going to fight just because they're not getting money from the, you know, Saudi Arabian princes and stuff. They'll still be able to fight. It's just another way of enraging an entire region, and they want to destabilize. Because the ultimate goal, for those of you who are maybe new to this or have forgotten, is to get the population down to a manageable level of slaves and drones and service workers. So what they'll do is they'll come back to America, and they've said in the past that they will not drill for oil in Anwar or any of those places until oil is at $200 a barrel. So gasoline will be $7 to $15 a gallon, depending on the taxes and everything. And that's what they plan to do. And then they will use a tyranny of fuel to extract what wealth is left in the middle and lower classes. And then they will continue to squeeze it out. I'm going to find my volume here. I can't hear myself. Oh, there we go. And squeeze out every last bit they can before they destroy America. They want to switch the currency over to an oil-based global currency. They want to really build up China. It's China's turn. It's China's turn to shine. They've shined in the past. They've been, you know, isolated, but yet, you know, they were growing prior to World War II, and we stepped in and said no. Japan went in and stopped them. We betrayed China when they were fighting Japan. We turned our back on Chiang Kai-shek against the communists. They want a little revenge. Plus, who's been buying our debt? They got all that paper. The Arabs have been buying up all kinds of paper and stuff. And so now this is where the betrayal comes in. Yeah. And as bad as it's going to be here, it's going to be worse in Europe. And although I do disagree, he says that there will be food on the shelves. I don't know how there will be food on the shelves if there's no fuel available, but we'll give him that one. That's just a minor a disagreement there. But it wouldn't even matter because of the inflation. It'll be just like Mozambique or the Weimar Republic, where you need $50 billion to buy an egg. And it's where seeds are going to be currency, folks. He's just one voice in the woods. I'm not throwing all my, you know, my clout behind his clout, but I'm telling you, these people are out there. He's got a good track record. Now, they may be using him as a stooge, and as soon as it gets up there, they're going to tell him something big's going to happen, and it's not. Although I did find it funny that he said that, you know, all these survival food places are trying to scare you. What's wrong with having a bunch of food? It's like gold. You buy it now, it's worth what you paid for it now, and then if it goes up, it's like banking your money, just like gold. Silver's over $30 an ounce now. And gold was around $1,400. It actually dropped a few dollars. Oil futures were $106 a barrel. They could easily produce, distill, and create gasoline for about $1 a gallon if they wanted to. But they don't. Even when there are oil shortages, even when there are oil embargoes, the oil companies still make money because that's how, no pun intended, they fuel their tyranny. They have to remove what you have in assets and liquid finances so that you can't fight back. They have to create mass transit like they're doing here in California. They're spending billions of dollars on a bullet train when they don't have any money. Huh? The county's buying up all the agricultural rail lines. Huh? But we don't have any money. They want to force you into cattle cars and train cars, not to send you to FEMA camps, but to make you go to work camps, whatever, but so you get used to it. They're just doing the best they can. Oh, here we go. To condition you. Hello, who's there?
Hey, it's the Bat Fag.
Hey, Bat Fag, I didn't know you were listening. I can't see the chat room right now.
Yeah, I can't get in the chat room because I forgot my password.
Oh.
I'll say hi and see if you guys can reset me because I can't remember my super secret password.
Oh, we don't... Yeah, that's Ustream. We can't control that. I could have Lewis look into it, but...
Yeah, that stinks. That's the new nomiker then.
Yeah, you know, Bat Fagalicious or something.
Yeah, or number one, number two.
Yeah, that's kind of what we do. So, what do you think about what Lindsey Williams is saying?
Hey, I listened to Alex Jones today. I heard it, then I turned you on, and I got out of the Alex Jones window, then I turned your program on. I can't get away from this. Am I on the radio, or...?
You are live on the air.
Oh, well, okay. Hey, anyways, I did listen to Lindsey Williams. I heard him on the Alex Jones today. You know, I'm almost afraid to believe the guy for, like, you know, for another round, you know, because
yeah.
I think that the guy, I think he was fed good information. He's probably outlived his usefulness, and I'm just not really convinced that this is what...
Because eventually they're going to use him for misinformation. I said that a couple minutes ago, and you never know when they're going to be done with him.
Yeah, I did miss that part from you, but that's what I took away, so that's like a confirmed kind of thing, you know, but we kind of drink from the same trough here, you know?
Yeah.
Alex Jones, you know, he's also another source of possible misinformation.
Yeah.
You know, he's got enough meat in it to where you tune him in and you listen, and it probably pays to listen to him. But I do think the thing with Lindsey Williams is the oil is probably key. They're probably going to use that to probably try and screw the bankers because
yeah.
You know, the debts are so big, you know, what can't be paid won't be paid.
Right.
Probably what the approach will be. And the sheeple will probably go along with it and say, oh my 401k, you know, and the Wall Street guys and the whole mess, you know, there's probably a rat in there, you know. So, you know, bottom line is you can't trust these guys. They're greedy pigs to the nth degree, and they're going to look to do something like that. And then, you know, what I did take away with Lindsey Williams was the idea that the United States has vast reserves of oil is probably true.
Yeah.
They're probably waiting to tap them at a higher price, which will then be justified. The politicians, stooges will play the blame game. It'll all be justified, and we're all going to pay through the nose. You know, it makes a lot of sense. And then they'll probably wreck the currency along the way, which is going to cause more havoc and more division and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, we're just going along for the ride.
Well, not to sound too evil, but that's exactly how I do it. That's the easy path to take.
Yeah, that's probably the most likely outcome. And when you talk to people, I know, like, when I talk to people around my workplace, Keep in mind that I'm a state worker, and I've been saying this for like about a year, year and a half, and like when the Wisconsin thing unfolded, I wasn't like a you know, and, you know, I hope I'm wrong, but this doesn't look cool, guys. You know, you know, we got people that are around me that are kind of retiring. You know, I'm looking to do the same thing myself. I've been in that system for almost 19 years. I'm looking to battle. And I'm afraid of the whole system, you know, up here in the gay state.
Yeah.
You know, they're probably bankrupt, and they're a blue state. They're probably, you know, billions and billions in the hole, and they'll be looking to say, sorry, guys, you know, thanks for the help, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, so long, and thanks for all the fish.
Guys, but they won't pay guys like me.
No, no. And that's why it doesn't really matter. We get this new information today, whether it's true or not, from Lindsay Williams. Our reaction's the same. We just keep doing the same thing. Just keep beans, bullets, Band-Aids, and Bibles, and just keep trucking along.
Yeah, you're right. You know, that's what I kind of thought about today, too, was there's just no other answer. You know, you listen to some stuff like this, that Robert Chapman fellow that comes on, you know, he comes on Alex Jones, and he's here and there. He also does appear to be correct, you know, for the season that these guys are kind of speaking and the recommendations that they've made. You know, is probably worth listening to and until they're proved wrong, you know. So, you know, the trend is a friend in that one, too.
Yeah, it's like any kind of intel. You can respect them but not trust them. And just keep doing what you're doing. Keep everything covered and just hope they're not coming to pee in your Wheaties or something, so.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, which kind of brings us around to, you know, one of my bigger fears, like last year, was the FEMA camp thing, you know, because up from Massachusetts, they were looking to vaccinate everybody with this swine flu thing.
Sure.
You know, that thing got a real hot and frothy, and it just went away, you know. You know, it went away as fast as it came, which is kind of spooky, too.
I think they're just probing and testing for weaknesses, seeing what we'll tolerate and what we'll put our foot down on.
Well, my observation is the population won't put their foot down on much of anything. You know, take away the sports, the American Idol, the porn, and everything else, and then they'll be in an uproar.
Yeah, well, he said if they taxed beer like 800% and taxed pizza, maybe people would start getting angry.
Yeah, they'd be going bonkers then, you know, or, you know, shut off the EBT cards, the welfare cards.
Yeah.
You know, shut that off, and then the cities are going to go bonkers. They'll be rolling out the Constantino wire.
If I ever wanted to trigger an actual revolution in this country, I would find a way to ban NASCAR. And I figured then we'd get a huge army of people that we could direct and point at Washington and sell them to march.
Yeah, you know, that's what really stinks too. Is like that crowd would be the most likely. They're the most likely crowd that's going to identify with this cause.
Yeah, yeah.
They're the easiest ones to try to relate to.
That's where they got NASCAR. Well, Bat Fag, I appreciate your input, and it sounds like we kind of feel the same way, and we just need to be alert, aware, and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and wait to see what the next thing is.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting, you know. Definitely, they're gonna try to bankrupt us first, you know. So the pinch in the wallet's gonna come first, and then the other stuff. You know, when they're all done fleecing you, you know, then they'll be looking around you.
Yep, trying to scrounge. Okay, thank you, Bat Fag.
Right, thanks, Fag.
I'm gonna hang up the phone here.
Okay. Yep. Bye.
Talk to you later. That phone line is terrible, and it was like a party line. I could hear two other people talking in the background. And what we'll do, we've only got a couple minutes here anyway, three more minutes. And then Steve Klein comes on with Code 20, alterorabolish.com, abolishislam.com, and we're going to be talking about what's going on in the Mideast and how the government's manipulating the Internet to get these rallies and riots going. So you won't be able to call in anyway. I think we're just going to abandon that hard line and just stick with the cell phone. From now on, we'll have to get like another cell phone so we can take questions when Steve's on. Don't forget Thursday night. We were off the air last time because of the solar flares, Thursday night's going to be Pastor Warren Mark Campbell with Practical Christianity in the next time slot, the next hour. Check us out on Facebook. You can find us over there on Facebook. Just type in Dutch Jones Radio Show or just Dutch Jones. You'll find me. I'll befriend you. And we can keep communicating. DutchJones.info, www.dutchjones.info for the website. Check out the forum. Leave a comment in the guest book. so we know who's listening, just kind of nice, and see how big our family's growing. I love seeing new names and new folks in here. Even if it's feds making up profiles, that's fine. I can think of nobody more in need of hearing this militant Christian worldview than some stooge who works for the federal government. We had one of our local boys come back, and he's a lieutenant in the Army, and he saw what we're doing here, and he's all offended that civilians shouldn't be allowed to train and all that kind of stuff, and he doesn't like militias, but yet he's over in Iraq training them to be militias and arming them. And the irony is not lost on me, but unfortunately it's lost on a lot of people that work for governments that make a living off of our taxes, that work for us. It's kind of like getting a really mean pit bull. You feed it, you shelter it, and that it keeps biting you. What are you going to do to that pit bull? What are you going to do? Warland's asking, did you get the last email I sent you about the Star Trek communicator cell phone? You know what? I was going to email you back on that, Warland. It didn't come through. It was just you said, hey, check this out. And then there was no link, no picture, nothing. So send that again if you could. That would be neat to see. I'd love to see a Star Trek communicator. I love Star Trek. I'm a Star Trek guy. So we're going to get ready to take a break here, and then we'll transition over to Liberty Tree Radio. So you've been listening to Dutch Jones on the Stronghold Radio Network, coming to you from the church at Kaweah. We'll be back, and we'll join our sister station, our big sister station, Liberty Tree Radio. Thanks for listening.
The page it's printed on. The reason is it isn't lawful money. And the truth is stated plainly in this song. Paper money, paper money. It's a federal trick without a treat. It's the source of all inflation and the reasons why your ends don't meet. Our founding fathers wrote our Constitution, which states that only Congress has the right to print up dollars backed by gold and silver, which guaranteed the future would be bright. Then Congress signed a contract with some banksters. This happened back in 1910 plus 3. Well, those banksters said, we'll guard your gold and silver and issue paper money for a fee. Paper money, bogus money. It's been proven throughout history. It deceives you while it bleeds you, as it leads you down to tyranny. So now we've got this private corporation, which calls itself the Federal Reserve, whose purpose was to strangle our great nation and plunder from us wealth they don't deserve. Now those banksters sit on top our gold and silver, then warn us not to practice guile or greed, and then charge us compound interest on some paper, which they print up any time they feel the need. Paper money, worthless money. It's a nation's curse since times of old. Things won't ever get no better till we make the Fed give back our gold. Those banksters talk about a new world order and why the USA should play their game. Well, let's throw those traitors out and lock the border, before we only have ourselves to blame. Pay- cheaper money, funny money. It's a ticket stub to tyranny. Gold and silver is the answer. It will reinstate our liberty. We the people have the power. We can reinstate our liberty. We can reinstate our liberty.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info. Okay, folks, it's time again for Code 20. It's Tuesday. It's the 22nd of February, 2011. I have Steve Klein standing by on the phone there. I'm not going to turn him up yet, but I just want to thank our big sister station, Liberty Tree Radio, for jumping us on to their network. I'm Dutch Jones. You're listening to Stronghold Radio, coming to you from the church at Kaweah. And today we listened to Lindsey Williams on the Alex Jones Show, and for the last hour that we discussed it, that the New World Order is going to stab the Muslims in the back, the oil-producing companies of OPEC, and they're going to start producing and drilling for oil in America, but that's not the good news. There is no good news in this. They're going to run oil up to $200 a barrel. They're going to take away our ability to move around freely in our country with $7 to $8 a gallon gasoline. They're going to return the OPEC nations to where they were when they found them in, you know, 70 years ago, a bunch of Bedouins roaming around the desert, just to make them mad. And people are going, but why would the New World Order want to do that? My answer is, why not? New World Order doesn't want somebody more powerful than them, and who more to instigate riots in their nations and cause upheaval? I mean, I don't like the dictators. I'm no fan of Gaddafi or Mubarak. I mean, they're not good guys, but they held order, and the New World Order does what? They thrive on disorder and chaos. So, without further ado, Steve, are you there?
Yeah, great segue, great introduction, and one way or the other, something's going to happen here. Things are ugly. So, what we've been talking about is, does it really matter if it's a New World Order, the Muslims, or the communists? But I have a few things to kind of get people to think of some other ways to look at this. The New World Order is how old? What are we talking, 150, 250 years old? What's their population?
Yeah,
there's really not that many guys in the New World Order, maybe 10,000 or so?
Power elites, who really knows the numbers, you know? It's a shadow secret society.
Right. So I'm thinking, okay, who is the body wagging the tail or the tail wagging the dog? So I'm just asking questions now, and I want to bring this back to focusing on what you and I have been talking about, which is basically a five-step program. We're not a bunch of drunks. We don't need a 12-step program. Maybe a five-step program.
Get us where we need to be.
With a proper theology, yes, indeed, we can kill, and we must kill, those in self-defense who are coming to ravage our women and kill our children and kill us. We in the proper theology, Romans 13, verses 3 and 4, that the God himself ordains the civil magistrate. He's called the minister of God. And in England, that's why he's called the prime minister. His prime job is one thing, self-defense. So you got Romans 13, 3 and 4. You got Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and it says the time for war, time for peace, time to kill, time to heal. And then you jump into the New Testament, the very last book, Revelations 19:11, and Jesus himself does the same thing. He's absolutely perfect and holy. He's righteous. He can do no wrong, and he's going to kill so many people that the horses are going to be swimming in blood up to the bridle. Jesus is robe is baptized in blood, which is a legal statement that means he takes on the responsibility, guilt, although he's not guilty because he can do no wrong. And we have the clean white robes, the saints, and that goes to a declaration of war. The soldiers, like Dutch, myself, Sergeant R, and those who have been in active combat, when we go to combat, when I go to bed at night, I don't think one second about the North Vietnamese or the Viet Cong or the Muslims my kid killed, because there that was done, maybe the declaration of war in Vietnam and in Iraq and Afghanistan isn't that solid as we'd like it to be, but in my heart, knowing the scriptures and stuff. So here's my questions. Okay, New World Order, just think. Just throw out a number. Dutch, you can do it, or Stacy, or Lewis. New World Order, at its older limits, that it was actually organized, Bilderbergers, Rothschilds, and all those guys, maybe 200 to 300 years old?
Yeah, I'm no expert on it. I just know that there's always been secret societies, but what we
yeah,
see today is the
back.
Power elite, the bankers of Europe that capitalized on the Napoleonic Wars, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, even if we go back 500 years, you can go back to the ancient Hospitallers and those guys. But I'm just throwing some stuff out for a frame of reference. Who's the most powerful? Who's the dog that's going to win? I don't think any of these three dogs are going to win. I'm comparing the New World Order, Islam, and the Communists, because I was watching Glenn Beck today, and he had a diagram up there. First group was New World Order, second group was Islam, last group was Communists. So I'm looking at it, and I'm going, all right, let's analyze this. New World Order, 500 years old. The banking elites, maybe 10,000. Let's go 100,000. And then I go to Islam. How old are they? 15 centuries. How many people do they have? 1.5 billion. How many banks do they own? They own Citibank, Bank of America. You name all the banks, and they've got a controlling interest. So maybe the New World Order set the stage, and they're in the driver's seat. And under cell warfare, as Mr. Dutch Jones sent out these four articles about how the federal government, federal fallout, the government wants to buy software to fake online grassroots social media campaigns.
I love it.
Hey, Islam for 15 centuries has been the masters of disaster, how to fool those, just like a chameleon fooling its color, and then snaps them. So we got the New World Order. All right, let's give them 500 years. Population, let's give them 100,000. And money, they got a lot. But then let's compare them to Islam. 15 centuries old, 1.5 billion people, and they own Saudi Arabia owns almost all of the banks in Switzerland. Switzerland's got a hell of a problem with the mosques over there. All right, then the last group, let's go to the communists, Karl Marx. I think you wrote Das Kapital, what, about 1850 or so?
Yeah.
So something like that. That's like 160 years old. Of course, it goes back. Socrates, Plato. Plato, the Republic of Plato, he wanted communism. So you could throw all this stuff in there. But the communists, how many real true communists are in the world? I don't know.
Mostly
a billion?
The Dutch. You get, yeah, but when you think about it, do you really have a billion or do you have a few dictators that are just controlling a few?
Bingo, yeah. And when I was going to college, the dude that was teaching my class, retired Air Force, retired CIA, he really made a big impression on me. I was back from Vietnam. I was, I'm not an expert, but I survived as a specialist in cell warfare. And I'll never forget this guy getting up there. All the Middle East Muslim countries are communist. All of their equipment was from the Soviet Union. All of their battle doctrine was from the Soviet Union. All of this stuff. So, all right. So we got, I think this gentleman, Lindsay Williams, is hitting on some great things. What I'm seeing is three major conflicting people or groups out there that all want to take and be the Skeletor of the universe. They want to be Lux Luthor. They want to take over the whole world. I mean, it's that's Satan and the whole Bible, right?
Yeah.
So whether it's the New World Order, whether it's Islam, whether it's the communists, we know Dutch and myself and most of the people listening here operate off the golden rule, the law written on the heart, agape, love is the fulfilling of all law. The New World Order, no, they do not operate off of that. That's theirs is screwing to others before they screw into you. You know, pillage, rape, get all the money you can. Islam, same thing. They're obviously a lot more violent. I haven't seen anybody in the New World Order doing suicide bombing, but I know that the New World Order is working with the Muslims, or the Muslims working with the New World Order because they own the banks.
Yeah.
And we know darn well that this stuff that you sent, Dutch, was really good. I'm going to take a break, and I'm going to throw the bone to you.
Sure.
On the four articles that you did on the government wants to buy software to fake online grassroots social media campaigns, because this is perfect. This is how cell warfare, this is the numero uno, how the mafia, how these guys send out disinformation, blah, blah, blah. So let's talk about that, and then let's come back to talking about who's in control of this. Well, that's a good question. You are on, my friend.
Okay, well, and many of you, if you're connected through the Facebook, I posted the same articles that Steve's talking about there, and that was only four or five of them. I found like 80 articles pertaining to where federal government, since even 2010, has been manipulating the internet to instigate the lefties, the communists, the scummunists, the Obamaites, all those types, into taking it to the streets. Kind of like what we saw happen in Egypt and Tunisia, and all, the list just goes on and on. And they're provoking it with fake profiles. Sometimes one person operating as many as 100 different profiles. Well, this worked out so well. Now the government's, purchasing office, when I say the government, I mean the administration that's currently seated, wants to come up with a better, more efficient way to manipulate, monitor, and maybe instigate riots here in America. Steve said it before, what we see the Muslims doing over in North Africa today could be here 5 to 10 years, maybe sooner, we don't know. We're not clairvoyant, we just follow the signs. But the government is actively shaking the tree, is actively putting out little bowls of honey, because you get more what with honey? More flies with honey than you do with vinegar. And I'm thinking it makes sense now, because I get a lot of hate mail from like 8 or 9 different people, and they seem to all be written by the same person, but they're different profiles on Facebook. And I'm thinking now, this is probably... I always just assumed it was some intern at the Southern Poverty Law Center, who's doing it. But now it looks like it's actively the FBI and all that kind of stuff. They're doing it. And what they'll do, it's the same way they worked in Central and South America. They'll instigate revolutions against the strong men that they put in that they no longer like. It's like using your new girlfriend to make your old girlfriend mad so that, you can get a cat fight going and you can sit back and laugh about it. But the problem is lots of people. I get some good analogies. But what's going on right now?
She's
going
to smack you.
She's shopping online. I don't even think she's paying attention. But what's going on in Tripoli right now, it's not a peaceful call for democracy. It's, blood and guts in the streets. I've been looking at some of the photos that are coming out of people being shot in the face with shotguns and stuff at point blank range. But that's the chaos. They need chaos because what do? Then the government swoops in. Look, we have the solution. It's like here in America. They will not allow any good disaster, any good crisis to go unwasted. Well, there haven't been any good ones for a while, so what do? They instigate them. So they're using the cell warfare technique first in the Middle East, just like they tested door-to-door fighting and disarming the masses in Iraq. And then they practiced their rural fighting skills in Afghanistan. They're going to come here. And I'm talking both sides of it. I'm talking government and the Mujahideen and everything. It's weird. It's like it's like it's a sport for them. And most of us are just, our people are distracted by NASCAR and soccer. But the New World Order folks, they love playing with people's lives. And the Muslims are vying. And even if the Muslims are the subordinate to the New World Order, I can guarantee you the Muslims don't think they're the subordinate to the New World Order. And if the communists may be the subordinate to the New World Order... And that's the way it was set up, that the New World Order started the communists or the Nazi Party, or whoever you want to pick. It's like your children. Once they get going, they think they know it all. And
you picking on Lewis again?
Yeah, I am. I was actually kind of glaring at him when I said that. And, it's the Frankenstein monster scenario. And so they're using the technology of the day, back during the Revolution, it was the Liberty Tree and flyers and newsletters and little tiny booklets, Poor Richard's Almanac.
Multiple
and
type. Yeah, movable type.
Yeah, so now it's the internet.
Google, I'm going to jump in now. Google has admitted that two of their vice presidents, that one dude, the Muslim in Egypt, and then there's another vice president of Google, that they've been actively involved in this. And then in civil warfare, Obama or Google, both of them, can easily, or the New World Order, or Islam. I don't know about the communists so much. The communists, to me, just seem like the sick old man. They're just kind of lingering around. But in any case, in civil warfare, Obama, he, you know, we've studied that, Dutch, how cells work, and that they have a, we saw that on the Battle of Algiers, how they have a triangle of information, and they hand a piece of paper, and they build their organization, so one guy doesn't know the next guy right next to him, so they can't break it. So, just like when I outed the number one terrorist in the United States to the FBI, and they refused to speak, and the fourth time they said, Mr. Klein, you just signed papers that we will not give you evidence to support you if you get sued for slander and libel. And the guy says, however, you were right. That guy is the number one terrorist in the world. And I said, so in other words, like the godfather of the mafia, and Obama with Google and these layers of misinformation, but they are sending out directives through probably a chain of about 400 people before it gets finally to the perps. Now, they handle funding terrorism the same way. They change those accounts through bank after bank after bank all day long. They change them in minutes.
Yeah.
And you can actually go online and you can study congressional testimony on how cells transfer money. It's the guy that did it. His name is Jean, J-E-A-N, Charles. The last name is Brissard, B like boy. R-I-S-A-R-D, Congressional Testimony on Terrorist Funding. But it goes right back to what Dutch is talking about, misinformation. So these banks are using computers, just like Google, Obama, this government wants to buy software to fake online grassroots social media campaigns. And so these banks, they actually transfer funds from bank to bank to bank to bank to bank all day long, billions of dollars. Nobody can follow it. They're still making interest off of it and all this other stuff. So, okay, now, there's the banks. There's the New World Order. There's the guys with the money. But who controls them?
Yeah.
My friends. I'm looking. I'm seeing all of the Muslims in the Middle East. Who's got the cash? Man, one of those dudes in Saudi Arabia, his house is $3 billion. One, and he's got multiple houses. $3 billion, and these guys have been doing this for 1,500 years, satanic, New World Order satanic, but they're not 1,500 years old. So this stuff now, but in any case, Dutch, we gotta have right theology, we gotta arm, we gotta have 3 to 5 families, we gotta organize based on a Mayfield Compact, Declaration of Independence, Northwest Ordinance of 1784, and the Constitution without slavery, and the last thing is prepare. So, once again, March 12th, tell us all about March 12th and our training.
Well, March 12th, coming up here at the Church of Cahuilla, we're going to be working with the Christian Defenders, Code 20. All of us are going to get together here with the permission of the Church of Cahuilla, and we're going to do some classroom time talking about cell warfare, talking about history, talking about being aware of the Islamic threat in the world. And then we're going to also have, well, half the class is doing that. We're going to be on the range. And I've been spending the last couple of days, the three of us have been up here making nice little barricades and stuff, teach you how to do T.J. Hooker style shooting over the hood of a car kind of stuff, and if the people can handle it. But real basic pistol self-defense, the moral implications, the moral awareness, the situational awareness. In fact, today we had a lady who lives in the community. She must have listened to the show or something, because she approached the pastor and asked if there was any room left in that class for a paying student. And I told her I would check with you, but it's $100 for the day. You bring, you know, you just bring yourself a notebook, something to drink. You can get, we're gonna have a catered Mexican lunch, tacos or burritos. It's $8 a head, and the lovely Miss Stacy will go down and get the burritos, rice, and all that. But the training that you're going to get is from people that actually have had to use and fire a weapon in anger. It's not going to be going somewhere where it's
or
a click. Or fear, yeah.
Fired in fear.
Yeah, there's a lot of
fear.
Yeah, that's true, too. There's always a good mixture there. And it's not going to be somebody who's, you know, a clay pigeon sports shooter who was in the Junior Olympics, like the last instructor.
No, these are all soldiers. Soldiers that have been in combat, especially my good buddy Dutch. Soldiers, I ain't letting, I know Dutch and I are not letting some novice dude, big mouth, get in there. Now, if you haven't killed people, you're not going to be on teaching the fire line.
Yeah, and we're developing this as we go, and if we get a 30, 40, or 50 people over a period of 3 or 4 months that have graduated from the basics and they want to do room-to-room clearing, they want to go up in the mountains and see what it's really like. Everybody loves to tell stories about how when they were in, they carried 120-pound packs 100 miles every day. But if you want to come out and really do it, and you want to learn how to set up an LPOP and stay overnight on our mountain, you're more than welcome to. The pastor and I were up late last night talking about the possibilities on this, and he's all excited. And
awesome.
You know, we'll be able to do so. It doesn't always have to be bang bang, shoot at the range stuff. We can take you out with some airsoft. We got airsoft up here. We got simunitions. I'd love to shoot some civilians with simunitions. You know, show them what it feels like to actually look down the barrel of a gun and see that flash. We got protective gear for you. It still hurts. Have we even shot with simunitions or just airsoft, Lou? I killed the pastor's son a couple times because he came screaming out of the dark at me with the, and I had a .38 revolver and he failed to show me his hands or stop, so I shot him. But and he said it hurts real bad. So, getting shot with a little blue piece of chalk is basically what it is. But we can cater this. We can extend it. And then on the 20th of May, we're going to be doing some advanced. It's a little more expensive. It's $150, but it's 3 days. And if you're interested, you have to contact me here, and you guys know the information. And that's going to be Larry Wick coming in, and he's going to train us to be instructors in his split-second survival philosophy. It's not a technique. It's not a style. I preach it all the time from this microphone. I don't care what kind of gear you have. If you don't have the proper warrior mindset, you're useless. And that's what this class is going to teach. Yeah, yeah. So we've got some training opportunities for you. And, again, I forwarded some stuff to you. I think it was a guy in Wisconsin, and I saw you got that. If you want to organize your own Code 20 little thing and you want to pay for Steve's airfare and give him a place to lodge up, he'll come out and teach you guys, unless you're some weird Klan group or something. We only work with Christian fighters for freedom. So, but we've got a guy that may be interested in that. Contact me, and I will make sure Steve gets it. If you're interested in any of the stuff we're talking about,
yeah, you're absolutely right. I like that what you said about the warrior's heart. Now, Lewis has got a warrior's heart, and he's great. Lewis would be really good. There's a lot of people like you were talking about. That one guy, I'm not going to say his name again or who he was, but he came running out of the dark screaming at you. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, I went on ambush 240 nights in a row, 240 nights in a row. No break, 7 days a week, 7 nights a week, no break. I led small kill teams in Vietnam. My kid led small teams, kill teams in Iraq. I'll tell you right now, when Dutch said, never fired a shot in anger, and I quickly said, yeah, or in fear, rest assured, when I was out there, I was pretty scared, and I didn't see anybody go running around screaming. I saw a lot of very quiet, nervous people, and they stumbled into our tripwires, or they stumbled into our ambush, and then we just, it was pretty ugly. But the stuff you see on TV, the people screaming and yelling, I can remember one firefight where we got overrun and the village was on fire. It was the only time in Vietnam that I used the sights on my rifle. The village was just a gigantic fire. But I remember my men, something was wrong. It probably only took a second or so, but it seemed like hours.
Yeah.
And I remember my M16 jam, so I'm firing it one round at a time. There's three guys in front of me. Two guys are working on one guy that's wounded about 40 feet in front of me. Village is on fire. Women are screaming. Babies are dead. Kids are dead. It was pretty nasty night. But I remembered. It seemed like forever, and I was working my M16 manual, working through it, and all of a sudden it dawned on me, my men were observers, they were not firing. And so it was that fear factor, that was the hardest thing, every firefight I was in, it seemed like a million years, time just dragged. But I remember, it was probably, like I say, less than a second, but as soon as I yelled, fire, it was like a grim reaper, but rest assured, we can take you out there. We can show you a lot of stuff. We're happy to do that. But like Sergeant R and myself were telling, I won't mention his name, one gentleman said, well, if you learn from the SEALs, you'll learn from the Green Berets, you'll learn from the recon. And I said, you know what? Enough. Don't say another word.
Yeah.
The only way you're going to learn is get into Iraq or Afghanistan, have people shoot at you, and learn what it's really like. Because you can train, and you must train, but until you've been shot at, seen RPGs, automatic weapons shot from, I had RPGs fired at me from 10 feet away. I had a dude walk inside of our ambush because two of my Marines, they either froze or they were asleep. They were two brand new kids that should not have been with our outfit.
Yeah.
And I rest assured, the dude running at you, screaming like that, I never saw it. I couldn't do it because I was too scared, but I had to work through that. That's what bravery is. We're all scared. Bravery is your ability to work through the fear. The big mouth that says, I was never afraid. It says, dude, what'd you watch, Saving Private Ryan or Sergeant York? You were never in combat.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I read a lot, and I read a lot of books about Vietnam. I did even before I went in the military. And there's a series of books about the LRPs, long-range reconnaissance patrols, that are written by about five guys that were actually in the LRPs. And I read, like, the whole collection of 12 of them. And I've been places, and people will tell me those same stories that I read about as if they were there. And I'm like, dude, I read that book. And your name isn't Gary Linderer, is it? You're not Gary Linderer, the author, you know, who wrote that. You know, and I got it from one guy here up at the church. He's dead now. He left after I called him on it. I don't normally do that. I don't like to, you know, belittle people, but if they get arrogant and rude and cocky, then I'm like, okay, really? You know.
Call them out.
Yeah. And it's always the guys that I get them on the range and they start telling me that stuff and they can't shoot worth a darn. You know? And that can happen, too. I mean, if you haven't shot since Vietnam, if you just said, I don't ever want to touch a gun again, and now, you know, 40, 50 years later you want to do it or whatever, I understand that.
Yeah.
But it's just like, no, it's like, dude, you know, just be honest. You were in the motor pool, weren't you? Yeah. You know, you know, that kind of stuff. And then, like, my dad, he was in 64 and 60, he was in 65 in the 1st Marines. And I finally got him that out of him over his birthday last month. He goes, I just don't want to talk about it. That, you know, he doesn't want to talk about it, but he was there. I've seen the pictures. I've seen his he actually got a dishonorable discharge, and he won't tell me why, but I'm sure it was his anger. He was always beating people up when he was younger. But there are the guys that just want to tell the war stories, and you're just like, and I had a training this Sunday, and I was just doing disaster triage, how to treat somebody head to toe, and I just said, look, no questions, no what ifs, no war stories. Let's just get through this today. And I'm starting to be a little harsh in my trainings.
Good.
Because people need to focus.
Good.
We're getting too close.
Good.
Boy, we're playing music. It's already the break. We're going to take a break here, guys.
Break.
Okay, I'm going to turn down your volume so nobody can hear you there, Steve. We'll be right back after this break.
To shoot a gun. I don't like Jews, but I have 20 sons. Thank Allah, I'm a jihad boy. Well, I got me 5 wives, got me a hookah. When the sun come up, I strap on my bazooka. One wife so ugly, I'm glad she wore a burqa. Thank Allah, I'm a jihad boy. Well, I wouldn't trade my life for a camel or a goat. And when I get a chance, I like to cut somebody's throat. And when I point my gun for me, you will vote. Thank Allah, I'm a jihad boy. I'd kill infidels all day if I could, but Allah and my wife wouldn't take it very good. So I bomb when I could, pray when I should. Thank Allah, I'm a jihad boy. Well, I got me 5 wives, got me a hookah. When sun comes up, I strap on my bazooka. One wife so ugly, I'm glad she wear a burqa. Thank Allah, I'm a jihad boy. Sitting right by his side, he said, shoot women first and do it with pride. And thank Allah, you're a jihad boy. My daddy taught me young how to make me a bomb. I really think Americans are mean to Saddam. I make excuse that they just hate Islam. And thank Allah, I'm a jihad boy. Well, I got me 5 wives, got me a hookah. When the sun comes up, I strap on my bazooka. One wife so ugly, I'm glad she wear a burqa.
when the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info. I was talking to Steve off the air there. I just really love this discussion level, this type of stuff. Questions in the chat room. No, I wasn't in Desert Storm. I was in Operation Just Because. I was in World War One, and I was in Grenada, and then I served in Central and South America in the also prestigious Bush's War on Drugs, and it wasn't fun. But those are my bona fides, and I got busted up in things I did off the battlefield. Although I did mess up a knee jumping out of an airplane once. But that's where I got my limp from. So are you there, Steve?
I'm here. I'm listening.
Okay, good. Well, yeah, we just pick it right up where we left off, folks. Every moment's precious. What we're trying to get across to you is that whether Lindsey Williams is right and the end of 2012 is going to be the crash of America for dark ages for 50 years, doesn't matter. What matters is, it doesn't. Whatever enemy that Satan flings at us, we got to be ready. And how do we get ready, Steve?
You just go ahead. You have the right theology. You arm 3 to 5 families. You organize in accordance with the Mayflower Compact, Declaration of Independence, Northwest Ordinance, Article 3, and the Constitution without slavery. And you prepare. And truly, the only way you can really, really prepare for combat. Get your young ass over to Iraq and Afghanistan, whether you're for the war or not. If you really are interested in this, the only way you're going to learn is from the best. United States Army, United States Marine Corps, get in there, get into combat. If you're a young man, whether you, and I tell young men now, look, if you want to go in for adventure or you want to learn tactics, there's no place better than going to Iraq or Afghanistan. If you're going in for patriotism, do not do it. Absolutely. Not to go in for patriotism, but go in there and learn from the world's finest. There's nobody better than the United States Army, the United States Marine Corps Infantry, period. There's nobody better.
It's so funny you say that, because when I was probably 17, I was at a gun show, and Soldier of Fortune had a booth set up. And I went up to Robert K. Brown, skinny little pukey guy that I was, said, "Hi, I want to be a mercenary. What do I need to do?" And he said the same exact thing you just said. He says, "Well, go join the American Army or the Marine Corps. Go airborne." He goes, if you can't get any combat experience over in Beirut, because that's what was going on at the time, he says, you know, sign up for the shortest time you can and go to Africa and fight a war over there. He goes, and then come back and talk to me. About 4 years later,
yep.
I saw him again on my honeymoon. He was in the Marriott in downtown Denver. He lived in Boulder. And I went up to him and said, "Hey, I did all you said and everything." And he said, and it was pretty funny. He didn't remember me, and he goes, "I have no idea. I never told you that." But it was still. But he goes, "I give every guy that advice. I didn't think anybody'd actually be dumb enough to go do it." And I'm like, "Well, I did." I go 2 weeks later. I was in the recruiting station joining the Army, and he just laughed at me, and we had a good chuckle over it. But yeah, you're right.
That shows your degree of courage, your degree of imagination. One of the huge problems we're having is with people who watch movies and they use imagination wrong. My thinking is, like Dutch and myself, we joined, we went into hot spots, we learned, and then we use our imagination. Einstein said imagination is better than intelligence. So, Dutch, I'm telling you right now, Dutch is a very bright guy, very professional. He's got a great intelligence, great imagination. I have 100% confidence in him. And I'll put my credentials against anybody, including Medal of Honor. I will go toe-to-toe with anybody who's been in war. Anybody. I don't care who they are. My son, the same thing. And I'm telling you right now, Dutch has got the warrior's heart. Lewis, his kid, does. Stacy, I don't know. She wants to be a member of the 300.
She keeps, yeah. She.
No, I'm just kidding.
She actually just went outside to go check the chicken that we got burning on the fire. But, yeah.
Oh.
it's attitude, you know, and you don't have to be tested in the crucible of fire to be part of the body of Christ and to make this work. We need all levels of people, too.
All levels.
You know, you mentioned Afghanistan and Iraq, and people go, man, I would never go there, you know, especially people that have watched Restrepo after we recommended it last month. It's just a, yep. a tough thing, but go to Southeast L.A., you know. go to Fresno. Fresno and Visalia right now are shooting galleries because of the Hispanic gangs. Literally every night, three or four shootings, about three or four times a week there's homicides related with it. The SWAT team's always out. I have a scanner. I listen. You know, there's so much going on out there right now that it's just nasty as can be. When I got out of the Army, I was bored because I had been through Grenada and through Just Cause and the drug war in Central and South America. First thing I did is I went looking for bounty hunting jobs and stuff like that just to keep the adrenaline going. And there's opportunities out there. Get as much civilian training as you can from respectable places.
Yep. So I want to go back to the training, what we're doing, and Dutch and I are taking that. The reason we got the movie Restrepo, and I'll spell it. You can find it on YouTube. It's Rest, R-E-S-T, Trepo, R-E-P-O, Restrepo. And his name was John Restrepo. He was a medic in the Army, and he got killed in Afghanistan, and they named a small outpost after him, and they lost, what, 50 guys fighting over that outpost for, it seemed to me, several months. Dutch, did you get a feel for how long they were on that?
Yeah, they were 15 months.
15 months, but a lot of people think, oh, 50 people, well, yeah, but there was only like 35 to 40 guys up there. They're rotating in and rotating out. They were getting shot. They were in 7 or 8 firefights a day?
A day. And they were on they had the medium ground. They didn't have the low ground, but they didn't have the high ground either.
Right.
It was a stupid place for a fire base.
Yeah, then when they went out on ambush, that's what I did in Vietnam, although, remember the commander, he took them out in at pitch black, which was brilliant, because they had the advantage with the night observation devices, so they were digging their outpost at night in the pitch black, which was smart, because in the daytime, everybody's equal. So that was smart that they did that. All my fighting was nighttime. But the reason we're showing that movie is we want people to really, that's about the closest I've ever seen. And I remember my son, he was blown up by a suicide bomber and shot a giant hole in his leg. And he led small kill teams, and he did a lot. A lot. And he sent that. He says, hey, Pop, you got to see this flick. And, man, it's really driving me insane. And the reason we're showing it is for the training I want and Dutch wants and Pastor Campbell. We want, and Sergeant R, now we got another Army Sergeant coming out.
Good.
We want guys, men only, to come out, and we want you to know what you're getting into. Because eventually, one of these three groups, and that's why I want to go back to how Dutch started this with Lindsey Williams. That was great how he did that. Is it the New World Order? Is it Islam? Is it communist? I was reading an article the other day. It's called Islamunism. Islamunism, can now, it's a combination of Islam and the communists. But all three of these groups, they're hanging around for one reason, to destroy the church, to destroy America. Now, they may destroy America. They're not going to destroy the church. Church is indestructible, but that doesn't mean, just like the Germans in World War II, like Corrie ten Boom, he had a lot of Christians there, and they were getting their asses whooped big time, but enough of them survived and will survive. But so the New World Order, Islam, and the communists, it's going to be a short period of time, especially with all this disinformation that Obama, the government wants to buy software to fake online grassroots social media campaigns. We have proof positive that two vice presidents of Google were actively working behind the scenes in Egypt, and rest assured, those guys are working with George Soros and these other guys. They see no loyalty towards America, and certainly they hate the church with a passion. So this stuff that we're talking about is not just like Noah didn't start building the ark when he felt it rain. He started building the ark 120 years before.
When so there had never been any rain.
Never been any rain. So now we got some other problems, and we'll solve them. And Dutch and I were talking about that during the break. Pastor Warren Campbell has been carrying this load by himself for years. He's worn out.
15
he's
years.
He's beat down. He's sick. And he was going to close down. He was thinking about closing down the next
Old Paz conference, yeah, that we do every year for Patriots.
Yeah, but Dutch and me, we'll take it over. We'll just make it like an Army or the Marine Corps, simple, to the point. We're not going to have guest lecturers coming in. We're going to keep the cost inexpensive. I don't know. What did he charge last time? $200 or so?
No, it's believe it or not, only $50.
And $50.
But
so
we're not going to serve. We're not going to serve any meals. We're going to have a weenie roast Saturday night. We discussed. We'll set up stations around the property. We'll get our other instructors that we know to come in and instruct their specialties, urban survival, all kinds of stuff.
Good.
And I'll get five
teamwork.
Or six instructors in here, and we'll set little kiosks. I'm going to start building them this week. We'll put gazebos all over the property with benches, and we'll ring the church bell every hour and a half, and it'll be time for you to shift to the next classroom. Did you have that? That's
awesome.
How they did it for us in the Army. We'd go station to station.
And bingo.
You know, and then on Sunday, you know, maybe Saturday night, we'll have a big old weenie roast, a big bonfire, everybody camping out on the ground, and, you know, bring your motorhomes
awesome.
If you want to be a sissy. And
awesome.
And then
I'll be in a motorhome.
Yeah. And then Sunday we'll have like Pastor Weaver come in, and then we'll have Pastor Warren Mark give a militant Christian worldview sermon.
Awesome.
And that's what we'll do.
Yeah.
It'll be light and simple.
It's just like with the guy that carries the flag, the guide on, he gets shot, somebody else grabs it and puts it back up in the air, rally around the flag. So Pastor Warren, then God bless him, we love him. We will honor him. We will respect him. We will help him. We will pick up the torch and carry it. And then Lewis in the future, Sergeant R. We got Sergeant Stewart coming in. All these other guys. Man, that's a great plan, having that idea like in the Army or the Marine Corps. You go from station to station to station.
Yeah.
If people, you know, if they really think they're hardcore, I'll take them up. I'm 60 years old. I'll take them up to the top of the mountain. We'll spend the night up there, whether it's rain or clear. And you can, you know, we'll be up there. All you're going to take is a poncho. That was my house for 240 nights in a row in Vietnam, a stinking poncho. That was my mansion. So we'll go up there, and we'll probably take some glow sticks and shoot at some glow sticks so people get a feel of what it's like at nighttime. We'll do some pretty awesome stuff.
Yeah. We need to build two LPOPs up there. Maybe we'll build one before, and then one of the classes can be, okay, now that you see how we did this one, let's go to that other point over there, 500 yards to the south of us, and build another one over there. And we'll get the young bucks up there doing it, you know, carrying up the concrete and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, we're just waiting on permission from the landowner. It's pending, but we're pretty sure he's going to say yes, our neighbor, because he's in it with us. And we can do that. You guys
will.
Yeah, we've got a lot of potential here for doing these kind of things. And that would be the first weekend in October. It's beautiful here in October. It's a nice fall. It's not winter here yet. This is Central California, folks. And then if this goes off well, we decided, you know, if this next September or October thing works, maybe we'll do one in the spring, too, with a different climate.
Yeah, I'm convinced it'll work so good. Yeah, we'll have to do another one in the spring, absolutely. And remember, we've got on the river right there, you can do whitewater rafting. There's contractors there. You got the giant sequoia trees that are football field length tall, 100 yards high. What, the first branch is like 150 feet high and 10 feet in diameter or so?
Yeah, we're going to go up there and rename them the General Lee and the Stonewall Jackson trees. we'll bring little signs and put them on there.
Sounds good to me. So we got a lot of things going. New World Order, Islam, Communists, who's in charge? Well, we know behind all three of them is Satan.
Yeah.
We know behind all three of them is Satan, and Satan's going to lose. But one of the biggest problems we have is this thing called abandonment theology. Are you familiar with that, Dutch?
Yeah. I call it bailout theology, but it's the same philosophy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Same thing. Yeah, when people say, well, I've read the book and I know we win, so I'm not going to do anything. It's like, really? So after Jesus was crucified, raised from the dead, and after 40 days, he leaves. So the apostles just went, oh, we read the book. We know we win. We're not going to do anything. As I recall, they were dragged around. What is it? Hebrews chapter 11 is the chapter of heroes. They were cutting those guys in half, boiling them in oil. I think it was St. Mark went over to Egypt.
Making candles out of them.
Yeah, exactly. He got dragged through the streets. The Egyptian Christians that I work with, they come from St. Mark, started the Christian church there. I think it was Alexandria. Oh, he was dragged through the streets, hooked to a horse's tail. So all of these guys that say, I don't have to do anything. Well, you know what? When you die and you stand before Jesus, you just might not hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You might just hear Jesus say, depart from me, quitter.
Yeah.
What'd you quit? Who gave you the authority to give up and quit?
Faith.
Man, that makes me so angry.
Oh, yeah. Faith without works is useless.
Bingo.
You know, and yeah, I didn't make that up.
Chapter 11 of Hebrews.
Yeah.
It's right there in the Bible. Yeah, chapter 11 of Hebrews, it talks about all these guys. And it talks, you know, they all got chopped up, hacked up. Here's cool. It says, They through faith subdued kingdoms. Oh,
yeah!
I thought we were all supposed to be political. There it is, Hebrews 11:33, and they're subduing a kingdom. That's political. They brought righteousness. That's the law. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. Dude, they're like Lewis fighting the lions. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, were made strong. Grew valiant in fight, F-I-G-H-T, war, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. That is chapter 11, verse 34 of Hebrews. Pretty interesting stuff for all the sissies that are giving up or saying, oh, well, you know, the rapture is going to come and get us out. Well, that may be, but that's been for 2,000 years, and who's to say that we're not going to live for another 500 years or so?
Yeah. You're talking about people that don't want to do anything. Good point. This thing coming up in October. The last weekend in September, we have had work parties for the last 5 years, well, the last 15 years, but I've only been involved for 5 years. And this last year, it ended up being like 8 people showed up for us to get ready for the conference. So we'll be doing something like that in September. We'll need volunteers to come up and, you know, set up the fire rings and mow the grass and make sure all the toilets are working. But you talk about faith without works. People don't. It's like so many people want to enjoy the conference, but they don't want to come up and get dirty the weekend before.
Exactly. Yeah, I'll be coming up and helping. And I'll get Sergeant R and Stuart and some other guys to help out too.
Speaking of that,
it's exciting stuff. What's going on?
Yeah, with Sergeant R, he had mentioned that he could get me some twisted pair of wire. We got our field phones in, and for our LPOP, if you talk to him. Hit him up again for that wire. Say, you know, we need 500 or 600 yards of it to get it up the hill there.
He's got a bunch of that stuff. So once again, we're right back where we started, Lindsey Williams. We may have differences of opinion. Is it the New World Order? Is it Islam? Or is it communist? It's all three, in my opinion. I look at it as a triage. To me, the Muslims are the most dangerous. The New World Order. You know what? I don't have that much money to go in and fight Citibank and Bank America, but I can sure as hell fight the Muslims. No problem. I'll take them down anytime. I know Dutch will too, and Sergeant R, Sergeant Stewart, and the other guys too. So, frankly, you know, the New World Order is not going to mess with Kauai or Visalia. They're looking more at Los Angeles, Chicago, San Francisco, stuff like that. So they're going to be leaving us alone almost like MacArthur and the island hopping. Well, fine, when they do that, Dutch, think of the recruits we'll be bringing in for ourselves, right?
Well, yeah, we're always, that's the one thing we plan here. That's why we have a lot of space. We got to put the refugees to work when they get here, you know, when this stuff starts happening.
Absolutely.
And because we're a tourism town, we are considered a soft target. Blowing up one of these hotels, you know, in a little backwater town outside a national park would be a great target. I mean, I would do it if I was them. It's just weird, I'm surprised it hasn't happened more in America, but they're biding their time, as Steve has taught us, you know, MPH, Muslims per host. But there, I can tell you, I can almost taste it in the air. They're seeing what's going on over in North Africa right now, and Bahrain and places, and going, hey, we could get, if they get away with it over there under dictatorships, imagine what we could do here. You know, they could be marching on Washington soon. I don't know what the timetable is going to be for them, but the students here are going to start waking up. You sent me that thing about that Vietnam vet that was accosted in the wheelchair. And they're going to start getting more violent. They are. The students, whether they're Muslims or Muslim sympathizers, because that, if you add those numbers in, the coexist.
Yeah, he was the Iraqi vet.
Okay, that's what it was, yeah. But you've got these college students in the leftist mind mills out there that are sympathetic to the Muslims, they're going to go right along with them. And, you know, March 12th is going to be a day of rage in America for the lefties. I didn't talk about that yet today. Day of rage. They're calling for all the leftists to come out into the streets and support Obongo and his and not just support him, but push him even further to the left, if that's possible. Yeah. So they want to do that. The same day they're going to be doing that, we're going to be up here arming people and training them.
On that day of rage, you got me to think, because I know there's some people, when they were younger, they did stupid things and they got felonies, and once you get a felony, you can't buy a firearm, but you can buy a bow and arrow.
Yeah.
You can buy a bow and arrow, so if you're a felon, you did something stupid, or maybe you became a born-again Christian after you did whatever was stupid, you could still go buy a bow and arrow. You could buy it from a private party. Nobody has to know anything about it, and a bow and arrow, hey.
We've got three or four people doing that in our militia. They can't have a weapon. because we tell them once the stuff hits the fan, it's not going to matter. You'll just pick up off the field what you need. But until then, get good with this bow and arrow. We have a purpose. We have a use for you. Taking out sentries with a crossbow is a great idea.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting thing going on. I'm working with the Middle East Christian television show. We've got a million viewers, and we're picking up the 320 million. There's been a few glitches, but we'll pick up 320 million viewers. But the guy that's my webmaster is actually, he lives in Greece, in Athens.
Wow.
And yeah, and so it's amazing how you can link together. And we got our buddy in Wisconsin and people in Texas and stuff that are all linked together. So you got this big giant spider web on a positive side. We've got our own Code 20, our own cell is going really good. Things we're doing it properly, correctly, in accordance with the Bible. We're looking for manly men. One of the reasons why on the air I say, yeah, we're going to kick your ass, because frankly, I'm tired of being around mealy-mouthed weasels that have been castrated. I can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
It was when I became president of the United States Marine Corps Reserve Officers Association in San Diego, and when they elected me president, they said, aren't you a Christian? I went, yeah, and they looked at me like, that doesn't make any sense. They said, well, you're an evangelical Christian, aren't you? And I went, yeah. And they went, how can you be a Vietnam veteran with all the stuff you did in Vietnam? Because there were colonels and stuff. They all knew my record. And I said, hey, come on, man. You ever heard of Oliver Cromwell, Robert E. Lee, George Washington, the rest of these guys? They got a lot of blood on their hands, and it was ordained by God himself in Romans 13. But the civil magistrate uses the military as the sword and ordains it so that we can go out. And frankly, I am looking for men like Dutch and his son Lewis, Sergeant R., Sergeant Stewart. I am looking for guys like my son. I am not looking for weaselly little wormy type guys. And I, you know, just like Gideon, he started with 30,000. He threw 99% out and was left with 300. Mm-hmm. So be it. Dutch and I are looking for manly men. If you think you got, you know, if you think you got the balls to come in and do what we're doing, come on down. Come on down. Show us your stuff. Show us your stuff. But do us one favor. Don't run your mouth. Do not run your mouth. We had one guy last time.
Yeah.
He's gone. I just told him, pack your stuff and leave. We outed him, found out he was a phony, and just said, leave. You're done. Goodbye. We're looking for men's men.
And not that we don't think we can't learn from somebody else. It's just not, at that point, that's not the time. Get to know us.
Exactly.
Hang out with us. Fellowship with us. Remember, I've been teaching you guys that training is a form of fellowship. And fellowship is to be what? Sacrificial. So if you come out with us, you hang out with us. And then, like, after the third or fourth time, you go, hey, you know what? I'm like a really awesome radio operator. I'd like to teach you guys how to do some radio stuff. Or I had an advanced pistol competition class, and I'd like to share that with you guys. But coming in the door, we don't know you. You don't know us. Let's just shut up and listen and get with the program. I learned my management style in the Army. I told you, I joined when I was 17 and a half. I hadn't even worked at McDonald's yet, you know, or anything like that. I learned how to get people and equipment from point A to point B and get tasks done the military way. And it's worked best for me, and I really like it. It's not going to be touchy-feely. I'll make jokes once in a while out on the range, but it's all focused and pay attention. And
very focused.
Yeah,
you're very focused.
Because we'll get more done. We'll get more done that way. And then afterwards, like the pastor asked me today, he goes, how long is your shooting going to be in the next class? And I said, well, it's a two-hour class for both of them. And then after everything's done, you can bring your weapon or you can shoot our weapons, come out. And we ended up staying like an extra 2.5-3 hours, didn't we, this last time?
Oh, easy.
Yeah,
and piggybacking on what you said, I walked up to the pistol range after I was done lecturing, and then I got my 44 Magnum, and I put it on, but I walked over to Dutch Jones, and Dutch was in charge, even though I was an expert, one of the top shooters in the Marine Corps pistol and rifle.
Yep.
All of my experience in Dutch was in charge. Dutch told me, do this, do that, do that, do this, and I did it, right? I didn't say,
yeah.
Oh, wait a minute, I'm a big expert, blah, blah, blah. I just said, yes, sir. Tell me what to do, and boom, I did it, right?
Yeah, and I do, when I go to somebody else's range, I don't go up there and say, look, I'm a master range officer. You know, I've got all that. You want to see my certificates? I just go up and say, what are the rules of the range? And I obey them.
Exactly.
And then if they start talking, then exactly. I go, yeah, I'm an instructor and I've taught some classes, you know. It's about having, we just have to be humble about it. It's just like if God gives us grace, we give grace to others. And that goes with training.
Amen.
And we just got to be willing. And I can tell you this. To me, there's no such thing as bad training. You may have a bad class, but you can learn from somebody's bad teaching ability, somebody's bad techniques, and you can learn from it. So just shut up, go through it, and then go, huh, okay. Wait for the review afterwards or get them after class. Say, you know, that thing you taught, we haven't done that for 20 years. And then he may say, well, you know what? I did it 20 years ago in the Congo, and it worked great. You know, I've actually seen that example happen. Our Rudy Waldinger, one of our instructors from DFT, somebody was like, you know, oh, nobody shoots that way anymore. He's like, hey, help me kill a lot of people in Rhodesia. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to learn from him. You know, we got Korean veterans that are too physically feeble, but they have a lot of knowledge, and we sit and listen to them, and you can learn from them. Like I said, we got a World War II vet. He's 81 or 82. He gets a folding chair and sits out on the range with us. He's not even strong enough to hold a gun up anymore, but he sits out there and he listens and he watches and he just takes part. Wow, there's the music. Wow, I can't believe that went that fast. Well, Steve, give out your websites real quick again.
AbolishIslam.com, AbolishIslam.com to all of you. Thanks for listening, Dutch. Dude, you did an awesome job. I'm very proud of you.
Well, I'm glad to have you on the show. It's really improved having...